You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
I know most of you don't remember me, but I know all of you.
Even though I was stuck light years away on Earth, I never stopped trying to get back home.
Everything changed since you left.
It's all gone. Skeletor took my family. Yeah! And he destroyed our world.
It's all my fault. I know how it feels to fail.
Take the sword. And when you fall, that's your chance to stand tall.
This is my home. I'm gonna fight for it. But I can't do it without you.
Somebody wants to brawl.
I need every man, woman, or whatever that is.
You may have the power. Too scared to use it?
Trust me. I know how to use it.
You tell everyone that you're from another planet. It just makes you sound a little very crazy.
Oh, hello, and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion, and I am joined by Quinny and Jill. And
I have the power!
You have?
Oh, I also have only one arm.
The power.
Yeah. Shit.
Ah! Oh, no.
I have.
When you held aloft. When you held aloft the magic sword and spoke the words, what are we doing here?
This is what are we doing tonight?
This is a marketing opportunity.
Yes. Also, before we go any further into this episode, yes, I think it's very important that I flag it right now and say, happy 450 fucking episodes, peoples.
Oh my God. Yes. I mean, we could have actually done that anyway. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I know. You probably got that music.
And thanks for writing in the chat and people listening. Yes, I know. There's a lot. 450 episodes and more. I think we've done more than 450.
Yeah, I mean, that's 450 named episodes.
Documented.
Not including the ones that we accidentally deleted or the ones that are currently in...
Or the ones we had to record twice.
Yeah, the ones that we did drunk.
I'm not going to talk about that. And look, I hadn't actually checked until just right now when I looked at the graphics around the screen going, and both He-Man and Mechaneck are definitely checking Jill out. It's like, ooh! I hadn't planned that. It's just happened that way. It's natural.
And the good thing is, like, it's fine that it's He-Man and Mechaneck checking you out. There's a good thing we didn't use some of the other He-Man characters, like, I don't know, Tongue Lashor, Extender.
What was the one with the elephant head that
Snout Spout?
Snout Spout. Yep. You know,
I'm going through the list
of strangely sexual.
They really are
children's toys.
They really are.
It was the 80s, man. People were just full of cocaine.
Or weed.
I didn't know what they were doing.
I mean, you could have Stoner.
No, the 70s were full of weed. Stoner. 80s were full of fucking cocaine, which is why we got where we are. But that's not what we're doing. We're talking about Master of the Universe, the 2026 Travis Knight film that is coming out. By the time the podcast goes out, it will be out.
Yes.
And at the moment of the time of recording, our social impressions will eventually get to be a review when the podcast comes out, and that's what we're doing it for. Yes. Okay,
yes.
All bases covered.
Yeah.
So this first half is very much spoiler-free.
Yeah.
Social impressions.
Exactly.
And the second half that you won't be listening to unless you're listening to the podcast because you wouldn't have seen the film yet will be a full no fucking around review.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. It's all a review. Shut up.
Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks very much. We got a chance to go and see Masters of the Universe, not He-Man. It's, it's just called Masters of the Universe.
Yes.
Thank you to Sony.
Yes, thank you, Sony.
Thank you, Sony. Last week, which was an interesting time.
Well, I'm impressed with the amount of marketing and shit they were doing in the lead up to it. Like they did
lots of activations around town.
Yeah, and they're obviously going, okay, we need to make this thing a big thing, because at the moment I get the distinct impression that this summer's big tentpole movies have radically underperformed.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I mean, this is our first, this is our second live action attempt at He-Man, but it isn't the first time of recent time that it has been rebooted in a sense.
This is true.
Quinny, you know more of this than I do.
Yep. So 2002-ish, we got the new Masters of the Universe that was, I think it was Cartoon Network. And they did three seasons of that. And that was, pretty cool. Had a lot of spinning weapons. Yeah, cartoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Traditional 2D cartoon. A lot of people liked that one. It was very popular. Lots of toys. Then 2023, I think, we got Revelations.
The Kevin Smith one. That's the one I know.
Yeah.
Besides the original.
Yes. Very much was a kind of follow-on from the original. It wasn't a reboot as such. It was kind of everything that happened in the original, that kind of still happened. Then in 2024, we got a completely different... No, it wasn't 2024, 2023 as well. We got a completely different CGI animated He-Man series, also on Netflix. So there were two lots of He-Man on Netflix at the same time.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't bother with that one.
Yeah. And it was very weird, but actually quite fun.
Okay.
They were clearly going, okay, we're going to appeal to the adults with Revelations, the older collector market.
Yeah.
And now we need something for the kids as well.
Okay.
And it was good fun. They're very different. But, and by the sounds of it, we're going to get another animated series after this as well that's aimed at even younger kids.
Oh, God.
Okay. Jesus.
Yeah.
Do we want to include the Princesses of Power within your cartoon talk?
It's a tricky one because... The Princess of Power or She-Ra that came out on Netflix, whenever that was, technically wasn't really associated with He-Man.
Right.
Okay.
There was no mention of He-Man or Eternia at all in any of it.
Well, I mean, from what I can understand via the canon events that I am reading to here... You have the 1983 to 1985 animated series, and then you have He-Man and She-Ra a Christmas special. What it says, I'm not making this up.
That's our life day.
The new adventures of He-Man in the 90s.
Oh shit! So that was the sci-fi version where He-Man had a laser sword and Skeletor was half robot and shit.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe in 2002.
Yep, that's the cool one.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe in 2021.
Okay, my years were off. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. And that's just the animated stuff apart from Master of the Universe Revelation, which is the Kevin Smith one, but wasn't called He-Man. And then we had the live action Dolph Lundgren Masters of the Universe 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chinese film He-Man in 2011, which is unrelated to the He-Man, but it just makes the cut because it was called He-Man.
Also, don't forget Master of the Universe, the Asylum mockbuster that is currently available in all of your best torrenting sites.
Yeah, and we're, and we're not even going to go with the other film called She-Man. That is a different different one whatsoever. That is when the safe search went back on. And I stopped researching too much, but yes, now we have we've had all of those. We have this new way of introducing kids to a marketing opportunity, just like the first
merchandising.
Yeah, just like the first go round when toy brands were looking for something to attach their brand to. We now have a whole new generation of kids, marketing opportunities to present to, and we get this one, 2026, Masters of the Universe, yay. Prince Adam, Cringer, mm-hmm. Man-at-Arms, Teela, Skeletor.
They've gone back to formula.
Yep, Evil Lyn.
I want to know, Jill, where were you at with He-Man and She-Ra? Were you like back in,
Yes. In my very, very, very young years of the 80s, loving Ninja Turtles and Batman and He-Man and She-Ra. I used to call her Sheila, not She-Ra, because at that age, couldn't read.
Jill, I would pay good money to have the Australian Sheila. Sheila. Na 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 na. Fucking Sheila.
Yeah, na na, yeah, na, yeah, na.
But no, I was peak marketing opportunity because I had the My Little Ponies, I had the Rainbow Brights, I had the Strawberry Shortcakes. Like, the 80s was where it was at with toys and cartoons, and I had them all.
I love you, Jill.
I mean, it wasn't, it wasn't just you. This was the perfect thing of going, hey, you know, the boy toy is there and then the girl toy is there and we're just doing them all together and everyone's like, great. I love
interesting because, like, the toys of She-Ra were an expensive gamble for Mattel. Like, they'd been making massive fucking bank on He-Man. Like, they'd been making mm-hmm. billions of dollars out of He-Man. And they're like, well, how do we make more billions of dollars? I don't know. There's 50% of the audience that aren't watching this. So how do we get to them? Okay, we're going to make these ones. But the thing was, they had rooted hair and they also had fabric costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of the jewels.
You can't just punch
them
out in a plastic mold.
No.
Exactly.
He-Man was definitely, like, the whole toy line was a Control-C, Control-V fest.
Yeah. And I mean, you can go and watch that episode of the Netflix show, The Toys That Made Us. They've got the whole He-Man episode.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you can go find out more about those toys. But I mean, the original Dorito, Jill. you would have had there just going, oh,
I didn't kick a boy toy out of the playroom, that is for sure.
they were welcome.
They were welcome.
Big Jim.
But look, you know, they tried to follow on with the recipe by making the live action Dolph Lundgren Masters of the Universe film. And I can tell, like, after that one, it probably would have made a lot of people gun shy of the whole thing.
Why? What happened to the company that released it, Dion?
They collapsed. Because was it Kuroko?
It was Canon, I think.
Canon, yeah, it was Canon Film. Again, another episode you can watch about Canon Films and where they came from, what they did. And the thing that Cyborg, that eventually got released with Jean-Claude Van Damme, was the sequel to Masters of the Universe. And they just, they used all the props and the sets and the ideas that they were going to do to film that, and they just turned it into Cyborg. Which is an action movie you can go and look up on your own time.
did we love the 1987?
It held a place.
I didn't watch it.
Well done.
I mean, I mean, one of the key memories that I have of the 1987 one is that Skeletor's giant hovercraft was actually like a swamp boat, but it wasn't running. It just had the big fan thing behind that they set dressed, and then they just put it on a trailer and wheeled it down the street and kept all the minions in front of it so you couldn't see that it didn't actually hover.
I also think that that particular piece of kit was also the Jabba's sail barge repurposed, wasn't it?
Could have been. Who fucking knows? Yeah. Like, you know, it wasn't high art.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
No, lots of people forget that the lead humans in that one, Tom Paris from Voyager and Courtney Cox from Friends.
Wow.
And Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. And Dolph Lundgren and you know.
Hang on, what year did this come out?
87.
87.
Yep.
Not 97.
No. Like, this was still when He-Man was big.
I was 3 years old, so I was not going to see Dolph Lundgren at the cinema. And unless it was a cartoon, we were not getting the VHS. So definitely skipped that one.
So it makes me quite terrified to say things like almost 40 years later, we have now a different imagination taking hold of this Masters of the Universe. That leads us to the thing of like, what is the film about, Quinny?
And synopsis time.
It is synopsis time.
And chat, please tell us. I say chat like a fucking influencer. Yeah, like which accent?
I think
accent?
We all know what accent we want to hear.
Quinny had a high vote for fucking Skeletor, but I'm not going to let him rest on that laurel because he would have prepped.
Prepped? You're the one that wrote that recreated the fucking synopsis in Skeletorese.
No, I didn't. There is a translator. You can go out there and find out they translate things from English to Skeletor.
Yeah, Dion sacrificed 5 million gallons of drinking water so that the AI could generate the synopsis for us.
I didn't know it had an AI back end, and I was like, no!
Think it makes these things, Dion. There's no fairy in the internet that's writing it for you.
I mean, you know, like
all of the things you love will be done by AI. Till next time, boobs.
Oh, no, they're making boobs out of AI.
What did you call me?
We'll find out how your boobs handled this one a little later.
Oh, my boobs have a lot to say.
Excellent.
Oh, God.
I can't wait. Is it going to be that kind of stream?
Okay. Look, I mean, I'm just.
Okay, they all want it. They all want it.
They all want it. Here we go. There's some music behind you. Off you go.
Okay. After 15 pathetic years of separation, Grayskull's silly sword drags that fool, Prince Adam, from his puny Earth home back to Eternia. But wait, he finds his precious home annihilated and under my glorious evil rule. To reclaim his destiny and to save his doomed rock, the boy must grovel with his sidekicks, that awful Teela, and that quite strapping my man-at-arms, to become He-Man. But even the most powerful man can't stop me. Until next time, boobs.
Okay, hands down, that's the greatest synopsis you've ever performed.
I mean,
thank you. Thank you.
No one's gonna know that with the podcast, but the way you held your phone up in front of camera was just peak. peak old man yells at phone.
Yeah,
that was a little bit boomer.
Yeah, I hated doing it that way. I'm very sorry.
There you go. 100.
But you sent it to the group chat that isn't on my computer.
A million out of 100.
Yeah, a million out of 100. Well done. Well done, Quinny.
All the way through the movie, I was just doing little skeleton laughs because it was amusing me as much as anything else.
And I wanted to punch you so hard. No, it was fine. Oh, dear.
So yes, the other version of that is Prince Adam has been stuck on Earth for 15 years.
We don't need it.
No,
yeah, okay, we don't need it. Like, who fucking cares? It's fucking He-Man. Do you remember the toy line? We're here to sell you more toy line with this film. It's got a lot of things that happen and stuff goes on. And in the end, you want the power.
Okay, so here's the thing. Last week we were bitching about Mando and Grogu being a yes and. Film.
And then, yes.
This was an and then film.
Oh, yeah.
But it was through the lens of our nostalgia, so it's everything is forgiven.
Yeah.
I just want to put that out there. This was by no means a masterpiece in storytelling.
But it was fun.
I have a different opinion in the sense that I agree with you, Jill. It says it does go a lot of and then. Occasionally it goes because and
and then
therefore and then. Which is actually great because sometimes you're just like, oh, he's doing that because I getcha. And also it knew what it was. I think that's the greatest thing about this film. Masters of the Universe, this new one, knows exactly what it is.
Yeah. 1,000%.
In the 87 one, it didn't really know whether or not it was supposed to be a direct copy of the film. Oh, sorry, the cartoon line. It's doing all of it. It doesn't want to acknowledge it had the stupidity.
That cultural cringe thing of going, we can't be based on a toy line, so we can't just replicate what's in the toys. We can't, we don't have the money to replicate Orko, but, so we're going to replace him with Gwildor. But also, we can't just have him in a fucking loincloth and a cross. We've got to put him in, complicated armor designed by Mobius.
It was them doing Dark and Gritty before we knew what Dark and Gritty was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Frank Langella is having a fucking great go at it. His Skeletor is really fucking good.
Yeah,
Evil-Lyn is fucking mint in that film.
But this is one of the things that is interesting about it is because the He-Man cartoon came out in the 80s, and only 2 years after the cartoon finished did the film come out. And so you had a bunch of kids who were turning into late teenage people, 15 to 18 to 20. Suddenly confronted with this nostalgic thing that wasn't nostalgic, that was a bit different and it didn't quite make sense and it wasn't as colourful.
Yeah, I think that's where this film has the advantage of the nostalgia lens. You have a peak audience of people that are, have been fed on a staple diet of 20 years of Marvel movies and they're dying for the next thing to relive their childhood with. And it's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. And I think the most brilliant thing that they did with making this film is they didn't say, we're going to give it the Scott Snyder treatment. They're like, no, we're going full camp. You remember how... Yeah. How ridiculous the cartoon was. Well, we're going to lean into that and we're doing it again. Because, yes, you are all in your 40s and 50s now that used to watch this cartoon. We want to give you that experience again while also bringing in a younger audience with, I would argue, a PG-ish rated film.
Oh, God, yeah. There's no blood or anything like that. This is absolute adventure shit.
Hello romance either.
No. No. No
Tila's
sex.
Very quick to friend zone Adam, which I'm I'm sorry, girl, but you have the willpower because I would not in that situation. I'm like, damn, girl, she got that on lock.
It was... There were moments like that that I also really enjoyed in this because there is this kind of incredibly self-aware humor in there as well. This is about a character called He-Man, and we're making jokes about he, him, we're making jokes about names. But then, he shows up and it's like, okay, I'm going to stereotypically friend zone you. That scene is... absolutely written as a stereotypical I like you as a brother, all of the stereotypical lines. And it is just that absolute thing of hammering home a particular attitude and a vibe and a humor. Yeah, which I think is super smart.
That's really not what this film is about. This film is about trying to cram as many marketing opportunities onto the screen as possible. And make sure that they're referencing the people that you used to buy the toys of. And now that you have more disposable income, maybe you'll buy the toys again.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But that's a cynical way to look at things.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mr. Cynicore.
Cynicore. Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like this, but this is, you know, we know what we're doing when you're going into this. You're not walking into Masters of the Universe because you're like, oh, that's going to be high art. That's going to be. And, you know, I think people are really have an appetite for it at the moment with so many films and series and things that have come out recently in this science fiction kind of vibe. Having basically a standalone film that exists in its own story that is just a bunch of fun and doesn't have the need to try and pull multiple franchises and story worlds and references together. It just kind of comes out and goes, you know what, this is fun. Based on a cartoon, we understand that. We're going to make fun of it where it's applicable, and we're going to, you know, have a little bit of actual drama and emotion, but relate it back to childhood and growing up.
Yeah,
and it works
they
really
honestly
well.
Really didn't have to do a lot of exposition to open this film either.
No,
it was quite straightforward. I think they really expected everybody going there to know what they're in for.
And it's interesting because, like, even in that, they didn't fuck with any of the old school lore or anything like that. You know, there's things in there where I was like, huh, okay, nice, neat. You know, the reason that the kid gets sent to Earth is because his mom is originally from Earth. And in the cartoon, she was an astronaut who came from Earth.
There you go.
I was like, fucking, okay, that's a hella deep cut, but nice work.
Yeah, I didn't know that Evil Inn was from Earth.
I'd forgotten that part too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she went to a community college.
Quinny wouldn't know. He hasn't seen it.
I have seen all
he
the community.
He has. He didn't see the one about the parks department.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't care about local government.
But I mean, like this one, you know, I've been quite enjoying the marketing. I've been quite enjoying the sort of advertising here. We know that we wanted to see, it just gave us a tease of enough of the things that we know and recognize that we could get on board with it. And it has the right look. It has the right kind of thing. No one's looking too realistic, which is, I think, the real hard thing here is we need to make it look like these people actually exist, but we don't need to make it too real by changing too much. We want the color. We want the movement. We want the weird shape to each of the individual characters. And I felt like they kept a lot of that and nodded in the appropriate way instead of just going, no, they're all the kind of same outfit, but they just have a flash of color here. No.
I really think the costume design was brilliant. I mean,
yeah, it's really good.
It managed to replicate like the original designs in such a way that felt like, I would say, lived in and real, but like still cartoony.
Except for the sorceress.
Oh, okay.
I'm just having a whinge about the sorceress.
You think she should have just been made out of feathers?
Kind of. Like, you know, she could have had the more feathery, the color, everything. She looked too different to me. And I was like, oh, I want to see the sorceress being.
I'm like, what's a couture sorceress look like? And I thought they gave that to us.
I mean, I would say that, like, they did a better job of getting her close to the design of the character than the 87.
Oh, okay. No, this is a vast improvement on all of the 87 pieces. Absolutely. Yeah. At least, you know, least of which
she's
not.
She's at least bird themed.
Yeah, somewhat.
She's got a little fucking, she's got the headdress that's the bird theme and the colours were right. I thought she was pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Nah. But at least Skeletor looked good.
Okay. So we were not excited about Skeletor because Jared Leto fans, let's be honest.
No.
He's a bit of a kook.
No one is.
I thought you were going for a different C word then.
Don't worry. I love the fact that he was like, oh, he's a bit of a kook. And then he was coming out in this film and everyone's a bit like, oh, and he went very quiet for a while. But of course, as soon as the film came out, what did he come out with? oh, I'm going to use AI to sell tickets to my concerts as a verification platform. So for I know, right? It was just one of those things where it was like, oh God, you could have just shut up and been in a good movie.
Yeah. Even that he couldn't do.
No,
but he was complaining.
We don't even see him.
No. You know,
yeah.
Skeletor is Skeletor. It's not Jared Leto. Like, yeah. there's no personality of his at all that comes through.
Yep.
And it doesn't even sound like him.
No. I mean, I'd also say it doesn't particularly sound like Skeletor.
No.
No. I mean, we didn't get the funny voice Skeletor, like Quinny's impersonation, but yeah. I think it was Skeletor-esque, and I think that like some of the language that he used was good, and I really quite enjoyed the mannerisms.
Yes,
he brought to life.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
it was very lived in character, and it was kind of like chewing the scenery. I really enjoyed Skeletor.
Yeah,
yeah. You knocked me over with a fucking feather, but yeah, I actually thought Skeletor was a highlight of the film.
Mm.
And even though I didn't like his particular voice, and sometimes I couldn't even fully understand what he was saying because the voice choice was a little questionable,
mm-hmm.
but he was chewing every piece of fucking scenery he could get his hands on, and that's right for this character.
Yeah, 100%.
Look, most of the villains...
Like, that's what Skeletor's meant to be.
Most of the villains in the film are great. You know... Small irritations. I'm only just annoyed that they kind of shelved Triclops significantly.
Mm.
But that's okay. He looked fine.
I love Triclops as a character.
I liked most of the heroes as well as they came in, and they actually have some great dialogue and kind of thing, but I'm still a little peeved that they minimized Cringer.
Yes.
I mean, someone that is on the poster that is there, that is looking, and you know that He-Man rides Battlecat into battle as like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit, not that he wasn't there, he's definitely there. I was just a little bit disappointed with the utilization, and I was like, oh man, you could have cut some of the other shit that was going on and followed Cringer a little bit, or had them as a twofer.
Yeah.
But that's just picking.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, look, I agree.
Yeah. But like, I loved Battle Cat. Like, love the other animal sidekick characters out of anything. So, yeah, I was kind of disappointed that we didn't get as much screen time on him as we could have.
No, like, and no Panthor. After the Panthor stands, no one's there. No one's there for the flocked thing.
I had both Battlecat and Panthor, but Panthor had, like, all of the best He-Man toys, just that shitty kind of flocking.
Yeah.
That...
Did you know, out of curiosity, as a bit of trivia, do you know where the Battlecat toy came from?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Do you know, originally the mold from a circus playset. The same cat got used as the mold for, it was...
Big Jim
or something that was different, was black. And then it just got used as Battlecat, and then it got used as Panthor. It's the same thing on four different toy lines. They just, like, as I say, Control C, Control V, done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New paint job, wheel her out.
Yep.
Love it.
It's a tiger. What color? Green and yellow. Go. Great. Perfect. Okay. How do we make it evil? Make it purple and flock it. Flock it real good.
I love some of the decisions that are made in the toy line. It's fine. It's hilarious, you know, especially because in the concept art for Panthor, he's black with a purple, like, frame that Skeletor sits in. And when they came to make the toy, they're like, no, the cat's going to be purple and we're going to color the saddle green. And everyone's like, why? Skeletor is purple.
Complementary colors. It's on the other side of the color wheel. Shut up.
It's not even the other saddle. The other saddle is brown. Did you just have green leftover plastic that you needed to use? Yes.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yes. So things that I loved about this, I love the color. Like, I love that this is a film that is not afraid of going, let's go big. Let's go bold on our colors. Let's have really, really vibrant fucking, you know, locations and sets. And, you know, everybody, fuck, Mechanic Mechanek is wearing bright blue, bright red with a silver neck.
Yep.
And he looks dumb and I love it.
Yeah. Great color grading.
Yeah.
Nothing yes. washed out, no dark and gritty.
Yep. No, no. They knew what they were doing. This is like 1990s Ninja Turtle 2. You know, not the first one, which was very gritty and dark. Second one, where it's colorful.
Yeah, look, it works really well. We get to see where has Adam been when he grows up. Absolutely no one believes that he's just a scrawny weakling, because in no point when he's looking like Adam or Prince Adam does he look like he's not built like a brick shit house.
I know. Like, Nicholas Galitzine really, really hit the gym for this. Like, yes. He got yoked. Like, especially... And it's so funny because, like, after this, he immediately went back to film Red, White, and Royal Blue 2. And I'm like, how do you go back to being, like, cute little twonk Prince Henry when you were, like... jacked He-Man, so that's going to be fun to see.
Maybe got jacked for the wedding, Jill.
Yeah,
maybe that's how it goes. If you're a twink and you're getting married, you got to put on the muscle.
The thing that gets me is that even though he is incredibly fucking yoked, he is, as you say, jacked to all fuckery. People still bitched.
Bigger in the posters though, and they've really photoshopped him in the posters, because when he does transform into He-Man, I'm like, looks a bit small.
Yeah, people still were complaining that he wasn't big enough as He-Man. And I was like,
big. Like on film, he didn't look that big. I think they've photoshopped the posters.
They've given perhaps a little bit of help.
Anyone compared to the steroid junkies of the 80s, like Dolph Lundgren and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone, you're always going to get like nothing. He couldn't damage himself that hard. But yeah. Also, it was a little bit of a whiplash for me, Jill, because that was the first time I'd seen Nicholas Galitzine was in Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Yeah.
And then the next time I see him, he's like, there's He-Man. I'm like, really? Makes sense. Yeah. No. I'm willing to go with it. When will he and Man-at-Arms kiss?
I was...
Or him and Skeletor. Yeah.
No, that's incest, Quinny. That's incest.
Oh. I don't know. So that was a thing that we will talk about in the spoiler section. I was about to ask a question and then went, hang on, no, that's spoiler.
That's from the cartoon. You can't spoil the cartoon with those plot things.
Which version of the cartoon, man? Because in different versions, Skeletor's either been related to him or not related to him, or his uncle or
I'm going from the card back of the 80s toys.
So a storyline completely unrelated to the cartoon, or are you going from the little comics in the toys?
The comics and stuff, which actually is where it comes up, isn't it, the first time?
Oh, quite possibly, but yeah. Like in that one, in those comics, Skeletor's a demon from another fucking dimension.
Yeah, like, but I mean,
there's a lot that they dropped out of those.
You've got to pull it all to, yeah, I mean, no one knew what was happening.
Like Teela being a goddess of the snakes.
Yeah. You know? She's actually the true heir to Snake Mountain.
Yep.
Sick.
Yeah. I know. Sick, right?
Yeah. In the toys, she's got a cool piece of snake armor and a snake staff, and everyone's like, where's all that going? Nowhere. We're going to leave that entirely alone.
This doesn't sound at all like they just hired a couple of writers who were desperate for a job or who just got to come up with all of the information that goes on the back of them, and they were just like, we just have to fill it. We need 170 words. Like, for the love of God. Also, yeah. Here are 12 new characters, which are basically copy-paste from characters we've already established. You can't reuse them.
And we can't get the guy who's doing all of the G.I. Joe ones because he's busy.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, you get your classics in the hero line. Ram Man, Fisto, Moss Man, Mechanek, Roboto. You've got all these things. They all
creative
get to show up.
Names.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Very creative names.
Oh, and I love the explanation for that, which I'm not entirely sure.
Like, I think I don't want to spoil it for people.
Yeah,
I
don't really want to
either.
It makes it make sense in the film, which is, I think, a really important thing to know to carry on into this, which is not spoilery, is that the film is hyper aware that it is a silly, ridiculous story. So how do you make that make sense to the people that you're going on? Well, the person that you're following to go through this is Prince Adam / He-Man. And you're kind of, you have to, he's a great avenue to go, we are remembering this through his child eyes. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to all of this ridiculous shit, imagine, you know, the last time you saw all these people were when you were five and you remember them in a certain way. And that's, I think, a really good success of the film because it allows you to leave all of that baggage that you have as an adult alone and put it aside and go, actually, no, it's fine. Sure, catch that flying scythe blade in your hands on a moving ship that didn't make sense, but fuck it. and if there's ever a character that I think I like a change that they did with it, it is Man-at-Arms, because he's there to be like the drunk uncle who would be complaining about the film.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's the adult in the room that's like, this is fucking dumb. I don't want to be there. Well, your character is on the screen and he's useless.
But casting someone like Idris Elba, who's like just absolutely like a fantastic actor, been around the block, been in everything, like so serious in a lot of his roles, to put him in there as like the straight guy, really, to kind of ground it all was great.
I love also that they kept a lot of the notions that they had in the toys that didn't make sense even in a toy line, but it made sense in a cartoon. Like, why do you have swords and shields and axes and also blasters and clubs? And for whatever reason, in this one, it fucking works. You know, Man-at-Arm pulls out a gun and shoots a bunch of people and then goes, nope, time for mace, and just pulls out a telescoping mace. Starts beating people up with it. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay, I'm with it. I love it.
And then has some pretty badass fights with one of my favorite characters, Trapjaw.
Yeah.
You know, who is one of those fucking characters that is so toy.
Yeah.
You just like, hang on, why is his skin blue but his face is green and his jaws red metal but his arms black and a hook and a what the fuck does that all that mean? It's just like I love him though.
I love him as a toy too, because I was always fascinated by on his head there was a little ring, and on the toy it would say you could just thread it onto a piece of string and let him like zoom down to attack on like a piece of string. I love that. I thought that was just genius. What are we going to do? We're just going to leave a little ring there. And if any kid did that in about 3 seconds, the piece of string pulled through that ring and you were left with a fucked toy that couldn't do that anymore.
Yep.
Unless, it's so true. Unless you had a creative older person in your life, like I did, who just screwed in a metal ring straight into the top of the toy's head.
Had a smart,
a weird Teletubby effect, but it worked. It was effective.
I like the way that this sort of is a fantasy story for sword bros.
Oh yeah,
you know, this is very much like, oh, we just want a story where you know, it's the power fantasy that every guy is like, okay, so I could just pick up a cool sword. And then I've got unlimited power and I can do whatever the fuck I want. Sweet. Yeah. Cool. But also, he's such a nerd. When he's in Earth, he's a fucking sword nerd. Like a straight up sword nerd.
Yeah. And not like a fun nerd, but like a really dorky nerd.
Yeah. Like he's going on dates and...
That's so weird because he's like really fucking hot as well. So he's going on all these dates, but talking about fucking swords and the planet that he had to leave when he was a child. I'm like, sure, bro, I'll go with it.
I fucking really love that.
I'll indulge you.
Because that's exactly how...
Your place or mine.
Yeah, that's exactly how it kind of would have gone, which is like, you're hot, yes, let's go on a date. And then you sit down and he starts talking, you're like, oh God.
You're a fucking weirdo. Okay.
Yet the one person that likes him was the chick in the comic store.
In the comic shop. That was me.
Anyway, call me.
He destroys the entire shop and like flees with the sword, and she calls out, "Are you single?" I'm like, get it, girl.
After taking photos of him looking like he's in a compromising position with the statue. And that statue is a fucking nice little callback too. So that character was the original design of what was going to be He-Man. And somewhere on the thing, it actually has the original name, which I've been trying to look up for the past 5 minutes and can't find it.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, I was like, that's fucking cool.
It's a really interesting film. They took great care to make it like try and feel, because it's so convoluted and so stupid. Even Eternia doesn't really work that one. The only thing that they missed, I think, in the Eternia that we didn't see was a monorail. We needed a monorail.
Though there was a bit that I was like, holy shit, that design's very reminiscent of the actual toy of Eternia. The,
yes, like, exactly. And that's why it needed a fucking monorail.
You are correct.
A ridiculous, shaky, shoddy, tiny thing that would fall off in a minute. And I would just be just in the background. Like, yeah. It's like, yes, fucking Eternia.
Monorail.
But like they're flying around in a fucking Talon fighter. And I'm like, fuck yeah. If they'd landed on Point Dread, I would have lost my shit. Like feel, all I've, of this stuff I feel is, like they, is they, my heart.
They missed the little he scooter that comes off the front of the attack track or whatever it is.
But like, though he does, you know, fly around on his little attack sled thing.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Man, what is it with like, the 80s toys? I always had an attack sled. Doesn't matter what it is. G.I. Joe, He-Man.
Star Wars.
Turtles.
There was a lot of them in Star Wars.
Yes, there were a lot in Star Wars.
There's a lot of really good humor too. Like I found myself laughing all the way through it.
Yeah, it was quite comedic. And all very like tongue in cheek, like we know what we're doing. Like we know what we are and we're leaning into it and we're okay with that.
Yep.
Which is great because like you can't do a movie that's as ridiculous as this and try to be serious about it and then like not be funny at all.
Yeah. It diverges, like when you say leaning into it, at some points I feel like it's almost tipping over.
And undercutting itself. It walked a line very carefully, and I wish that it had tipped over.
Right.
I wanted it to be more comedy?
Yeah. I think it could have been even stupider. And
I mean,
I think it would have benefited from being more camp.
So you wanted one of the boing sound effects or something in there? Because we've experimented with that in movies before, and it does not go as well as you think.
I think you've got to push the needle a little bit further.
I'm looking at you,
Matrix. I don't know, because there's bits at the end that we'll talk about later.
That I loved. And I'm like, I would have liked a couple of more moments in the proper film, not like as an epilogue. Like I would have liked a bit more stupidity in the body of the film.
There's parts of it that I was like, I would love to see them like go, okay, we've got to get it somewhere. And then they try to get in like a Battle Bones and everybody's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah.
You know, things of calling out the inherent stupidity of the toy nature of it all.
Just that kind of would have been great with the Battle Bones if everyone just jumped, like all the Eternians just jump up and wrap like two pieces of bone around their ribs and just get held there. And Prince Adam would have been like, what are you doing? We have planes. Like, sure. But I kind of hold out hope they can do that.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, the good thing is it. I think it'll do well, and I have a feeling. So. I really hope so,
It's just over 2 hours. It's a pretty good 2 hours. You won't feel bored. Or you don't, like, I don't really, like, there's some slightly unnecessary things, but I think everyone was having a great time. And to see it in a cinema full of people who are excited to see it was also really good because they were happy. They saw things on screen. They liked their favorite moments.
There's a lot of cheering and clapping throughout the film at some key points. And shout out to the guy in our cinema that yelled smash when Adam transformed into He-Man.
Actually, and here's a little bit of trivia too. Do you know that the original 1987 Master of the Universe is one of the first films that had a post-credit sequence?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And could have been like it was partly responsible for that sort of thing because right at the end, Skeletor's head comes up from like the goo that he fell in and went, I'll be back.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Well, here's a fair warning for everybody. If you are going to see it, it has every single post-credit scene you could think of. So stay until the very, 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 very,
very, very, very, very, very dead fucking end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Every post-credit scene, absolutely. And you know what? Cool. I have to say, they were good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They made the viewing experience better.
Yeah, it wasn't like some of those Marvel ones where you're like, I don't know what that means. I don't know what, like, no, cool.
The worst ones are the DC ones back in that. Remember those ones where you're just like, why is there, what the fuck is that cockroach? Why is that worm there? I don't even know what the fuck that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, one thing I do want to say before we go into our ratings, the music. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times, like literally there was a point in this movie where I kind of yelled out, I'll get fucked, because I was so happy. You know, music choice, but also like the score and everything by Daniel Pemberton, the recurring motif of Eternia is a bit of a fucking banger.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Like, you know, by the end of it, I was like, I was like, I'm into this shit.
Why do you think
great needle drops, referencing memes, which I love.
Why do you think it may, like, Daniel Pemberton did a particularly good job? Who was working with him on it?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, Sir Brian May.
Oh, yes.
You know, maybe. You know, just the lead guitarist of Queen. Yes. Maybe.
Maybe.
But also, who just came off doing Project Hail Mary and,
Another
like
the one with the great
has soundtrack. Been doing some really fucking good shit.
Yeah.
Look, we've almost had our full show of just talking about this now.
Yeah.
So, all right, we should get into the ratings very quickly.
Do a rating and we'll come back and do some spoilery stuff.
Sure, quickly. I'm just going to go straight out with a 90.
Mm.
Nice.
Because it was a fuck ton of fun and we all need a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to the popcorn things that have been going out in America. Because the popcorn things that you can get in America, like the giant sword with the drink in it and the popcorn, or Castle Grayskull as a popcorn thing.
I want that Castle Grayskull something fierce because it's a popcorn holder, a candy holder, and a drinks holder.
All in one.
Like one of the turrets is a... Yeah.
There you go.
And you too can have one for the princely sum of about 150 Australian.
Yeah. Can you get it in Australia or do you have to you have to get it from Australia? I would actually I'd vote for the other one, Quinny, the throne, Skeletor's throne, which you can get in the US, which fits the figures that are
and
released.
And lights
at the
up
moment.
With LEDs and everything.
Yeah. So you heard it here, folks. Anyone got a hookup?
Yeah.
Send it to Quinny. Yeah. He'll definitely give you the cash. Yeah. In a dodgy car park at night.
We got something equally, you know, cool. We also got like a little Skeletor fucking
Swizzle stick.
Swizzle sticks.
Yeah.
I was like,
we had some themed cocktails on the night. That was fun.
Yep. And that's definitely not the reason we're rating it so highly.
No.
Jill, do you have a number for me?
I was gonna say give it an 83 the year that it came out, but I'm like, no, it needs a bit more than that. I'll give it an 89.
89, nice.
Not even 87 is when the first one came out.
A bit more than that. Than that.
Yeah, it's better than the 87,
but not 90. Yeah, not 90. Not 99.
No, I don't want to be the same as you. We're already turning into the same person. That's enough.
Drawing a line.
you're modulocking and you're becoming two different parts of one character.
I think Jill's beard's coming in.
Algorithms are aligning.
Jill's beard is looking fantastic.
Yeah.
When the back and forth meme shit posting just turns into the same stuff that we saw 5 minutes ago before
just
we start sent
sending
it.
Each other the same stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, it's time to take a break.
We have blended, Jill.
I know, we've merged.
I don't know how I feel about this. I'm so confused.
We're drift compatible. Thank you, Predator Gango. Actually, someone draw that. What would the mech look like? The Jill and I drive. Jaeger.
The periodic table
calling
of
you
awesome
Dill Jaeger. And me Gion.
I actually, you know what? The mech would just look like Quinny. And Jill and I go. Sorry,
totally different. Down for it. Like I like that you're both in my head, walking in sync. Yeah. Okay. You've gone 90. Jill's gone 89. I actually fucking loved it.
Oh,
like, you're the anomaly. What are you going to give it?
Oh, I'm going a little higher than all of these. Like, I'm up there with a 96.
Oh, God damn it. Not a perfect rating? Not perfect, Quinny.
Look, I honestly, if Leto had fucking done a slightly better Skeletor voice.
Right.
I probably would have gone all the way to a fucking near perfect. I had a ball. I laughed. I had the music playing. I was like, you know, there was tiny, tiny little niggly things that I was just like, oh, yeah.
I swear you peed a little.
Oh,
during that.
It wasn't a little.
Yeah.
It was a full torrent. No. This was like reaching into my 6-year-old brain and pulling out what I wanted. And it was Queen music and it was colorful fucking heroes with swords and stupid fucking vehicles. And yeah, it was just everything I could possibly want. And all I want is now just another one, please. Like, there's bits in there that I like, they threw in shit that I was just like, that's so fucking obscure. Thank you.
Okay. So we'll go for a little clip. Which clip do you want? Do you want a bit of the I have the power transformation, or do you want to have
the thirst trap clip?
Skelefight. Oh yeah, the thirst trap clip. We're doing that for Jill. We're going into
I think they're both very short clips. If you wanted to play them both,
you could just do both. Yeah.
We're gonna hold the rule. Thirst trap ahoy.
I have the power.
Okay.
This is magical girl transformation.
Yeah. The magical girl transformation came out and we got the full pan down. Not pants down, pan down.
Skybeam.
Yeah.
We had an underground fight club in the last film and we have a skybeam in this film.
Jill, you've got a costuming question in the chat thread.
It's not, no. What do you call the thing He-Man is wearing because it's not a crop top? I would call it a harness.
Yes. It's called, I think, Jill, we could call it a bro show. You know,
I also love that they just adapted the image just enough that it's no longer the iron cross that the old one used to wear.
Yes. We don't need to go.
Interestingly, they decided to not go for the modern one, which is just a stylized H. So I don't know. Yeah.
Look, you know, hey, let them do, as I say to this one, let them cook. This is fine. I have confidence that they know what they're doing. And it felt one of the things that's really difficult on a film set is it's difficult to have fun, or when people aren't having fun, it can bleed into the thing of like, people don't really give a shit about this project. I did feel like every time people were on the screen that they kind of knew what they were doing. Maybe not Miranda Baccar and a couple of the other characters who didn't really know what they were there for. They're just like, I'm just standing here. Good work on getting Alison Brie, who has comedic chops, to play a sort of undercurrent comedic bit.
The thirstiest fucking version of Evil Inn I've ever seen.
That was great.
Holy shit.
I'm here for it. I'm down.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought she was blonde? But she is.
In the cartoon, she's a silver.
Yeah. But look, everyone works quite well in everything they're doing in this. And we've got the spoilers up now, so if you want to talk about anything spoilery, apologies to anyone, they haven't seen it yet. This is the podcast on Thursday, everyone. And they can't have seen it.
Yes.
I don't think this is too much to spoil because it's mainly about the plot narrative. It's like, but I mean, if you've watched any of the cartoons, you know what happens in the end? He-Man defeats Skeletor. Kel Dimash.
Yeah. But there are things that we can talk about that we enjoyed, like use of memes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, fairly early on, they kind of reference the what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty fucking well.
Yeah, it was great. It was just a soundtrack moment. They didn't have to really do anything that difficult. It was just like, oh, well, everyone knows this song is related to He-Man because of that guy's video, so let's just chuck it in.
Yeah, and during that scene is when we get to see our first sort of traditional character doing some stuff, which is Beast Man,
who I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, who looks great in it. And, I mean, you know, we'd seen some earlier stuff like, oh, is that Ram Man? Yep, that's Ram Man in the background, but... You know, who are they? What do they do? They're using their powers that they have. It's like, okay, that's kind of cool and fun and everything, but we want to get back to the, you know,
the classics.
The classics and doing it and trying. And I really enjoyed the fact they didn't put too many on screen at once.
Yeah.
There isn't a big, giant battle scene where everyone is going at each other in a kind of Captain America Civil War sort of thing, you know, where there's like a big battle and everyone needs a bit of screen time. No, they just kind of separated it all up a little bit and kind of kept it enough. But it is ultimately about He-Man and his sword that he holds aloft.
There is a couple of characters I wasn't expecting to see in there that showed up. So one of them being Karg.
Who's Karg?
So Karg is the weird silver-haired monster-looking dude with the sai and a little hook or something. He's like a green-skinned monster guy. But the thing is, he was only ever in the 1987 movie. Like, he was never a toy. He was never anything else.
Okay.
And they've gone, fuck it, we're going to reference the 1987 movie and pull that character out of it. And I'm like, that's a fucking choice.
Why not?
Oh, he did get an action figure eventually.
Oh, but, right, eventually.
In 2018.
Yeah.
But it is nice, like, you get to see a few of those ones in the background, like, you know, I swear there was a Gwildor.
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there in the background. And they even point that out in the... And is it a spoiler to talk about the naming of these people?
No, we're in the spoiler section. I think we can talk about that now.
Okay. It's really nice in this because it's told from Adam's perspective as a child when he left. So what he's done is he's named them all as stereotypical things that he remembers from when he was a child. So, you know,
so he doesn't remember these guys' actual names. He just calls the dude with the big fist Fisto.
Yeah.
And the guy that like rams people with his dome head.
Ram Man. I do love that. It was like, oh, you're Ram Man. And everyone's kind of quiet. And he goes, I have a name. Just ends the story. Keeps going. And it's like, yeah, shit. And everyone's just kind of like, you're a bit of a dick because you don't actually remember any of us. And why
apart from Mechanek, who seems to quite like his name.
Yeah. But I mean,
like,
oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I really enjoyed seeing Moss Man.
Briefly
in there. But. He lived a good life in it, and it served the story, which I quite liked because it gets to show you that actually Skeletor is kind of competent and a bit evil because you have to have a sacrifice somewhere for some reason, and it didn't affect any of the story, and none of the main characters die because it is basically a child's cartoon. But at least it made Skeletor menacing. Oh, and the other one, Quinny, what the fuck is with the goat one?
Okay. So
who's the goat guy?
The big red dude with
with the horns.
Yeah. So weird fucking character. He's called Goat Man.
I mean, strange. How did? Yeah. Wow. I would not have considered
once again. You know, Adam trying to remember things. But he was originally. We're in very deep gonk territory here.
I can't gonk you. I need something else. I need like the little Orko magic sound.
Either that or you need the ting of the sword or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, Goatman was created for, like, a golden book or one of those, like, those reading with the tape books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it was a golden book. So they just made up a new character for the golden book. There was never a toy of him, until the 2018 or whenever.
Yeah.
But they just were like, okay, yeah, we'll put him into the first movie. And everyone was like, who the fuck's that? You know? And there's another one at one point, like the person who wakes up Skeletor is this little pig dude.
And what's his name?
Pig Man, probably.
Close.
Pig Boy.
And the story with Pig Boy is that when they were filming the 1987 film, they ran a competition for the kids to see who could get a walk-on part in the film. And this one kid won a walk-on part in the film, and he plays a character called Pig Boy.
Oh, my God.
And they're just like, yep, we got to reference that. Now I don't know whether it was the same kid or not, but Pig Boy got old.
Yeah, look, I liked all of these references that they pulled out. They did a bit of an update, I think, with Roboto. And
yes,
I'm fine with that. She is a great character in this. And eventually, you know, has a good kind of arc. I feel like everyone kind of has a decent enough arc in this that you're following, apart mm-hmm. from the fact that Teela doesn't really have an arc. But, I mean, that's because she's just sick of carrying all the men in her life around on her back, which is why she should get the snake armor. Because why? Well, my back got crushed from carrying all the dudes in the film because they're all a bit shit.
Yeah,
she really was flexing on everyone. Was the most fucking competent, oath.
Absolutely,
yep. By far
the smartest, most competent person with a plan. Has emotional, has direction. Adam
is also in keeping with the original stories too. Like, you know, all the way through those old cartoons, she was always the most competent and always the one who knew what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
Apart from just not knowing that one thing about, you know, who Prince Adam turned into.
I loved, that's a great reference too. In that.
I think I want to bring it around to like the end of the film where we got to see some really fun moments. We do get to see some references to original costuming, which was fun. We get to see Teela in her original 80s cartoon gear and the Prince Adam outfit.
Yes.
And a little bit of ridiculous cartoon chortling, I would call it.
I love that thing. I was like, yeah, he's just going to go and change. We all know that he's doing it, but just let him have his thing. You know, it's like, Prince Adam's run off and now He-Man's come back. And it's like, oh, wow, where did Prince Adam go? It's kind of
Is he going to keep doing that? Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Just let him have it. Just let him have it. It's fine. It's fine. He's been through
a lot.
A
blink and you miss it bit in one of the fights that I was very happy with. Like, you know, there is one big fight where all of the good guys are fighting a bunch of skeleton knights and stuff, which is sort of, you know, the big action sequence for Fisto and Ram Man and all those characters. There is a bit in there that I just squealed with excitement where one of the little dopey floating Skeletor robots from the cartoon got punched. Like, it's a fucking blink and you miss it 2-second shot of one of those weird little top-looking robots.
Oh, okay.
Just gets punched and destroyed by somebody. I was like, yeah, the little fucking Skeletor robots, yeah.
Yep. I did like one of those things where, was it one point where Spikor gets punched and flies up and just sticks to the roof and then they leave him stuck there because his spikes have impaled him on the roof. And I'm like, fine, I'm with that. No worries.
Yeah.
Quick question, and this is maybe something I can't remember. Keldor, who is King Randor.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, apologies. Did he just get was he there and then just disappeared, or did he something nefarious happen to him in the movie?
He died.
Okay, I just double checked. I don't know why I blanked on that one. I couldn't remember what happened to that character. And in my mind, at some point during that scene, I feel like he just stepped slightly off screen and then no one acknowledged what happened to him.
Was
just me.
Had quite
there
a long
quite
hit
a
sequence.
Big moment.
No, I wasn't paying attention. Still 90 out of 100. Fine. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to sing the praises of the emotional depth in this film as well.
Yeah.
Because we have been talking about how much fun it is and how boyish it is and how masculine it is and all that kind of stuff. But it also has a very emotional core, and we get to see like the, I would say, macho characters break down and cry and have connecting emotional moments. And I think that is such a healthy display of emotion and mental health that is so important for, I think, people that, you know, grew up in the 80s and was kind of, had a lot of that stuff repressed by the generation before them, and kind of growing up with like boys don't cry and all that kind of garbage. So it was really nice just to see men having emotional moments between themselves.
Yeah.
And other male characters.
And also, like, there is a very clear awareness of the idea of toxic masculinity,
mm-hmm.
You know, and how ridiculous it is. Yeah. To the, like, there is a point where, you know, He-Man's even there going, you know what, wouldn't it be cool if instead of us beating the shit out of each other,
we just had a conversation.
We can have a conversation about this and we can find out what you want.
I mean, Adam on Earth was a HR manager, so he just wants to diffuse situations by talking about them instead of beating people up. It's really progressive. But also to have a father figure who was so standoffish with him and kind of cold and expected a lot from him, to still be able, like 15 years later, to come back and have an emotional connection with your father and, like, still be able to tell
that
you love him and that he loves you, even though you have all of this history between you.
Yeah, that one really kicked me in the guts. And I was like, oof.
And it's I think the success of the film is that balance, that it knows when it's going to lean this way and it knows when it's going to go back the other way. I was just remembering fucking funniest, some of the funniest scenes is the fight between He-Man and Skeletor towards the end. But there's a moment when basically kind of Skeletor is invading He-Man's mind and sort of living through those memories on Earth.
Yeah, I kind of remember
fucking
that.
Hands down, funniest shit you've ever thought of is you saw all these things happen at the start of the film. They directly reference all of the stuff on Earth that happened at the start, so you're comfortable with it, and then it just inserts Skeletor in there, and you're like, this is weird but really funny.
Yeah,
like, that's
that
just
it was great.
Yeah, and that is part of that great thing is like, oh my god, Skeletor is just funny. Because
but like showing up in an office in business attire and then be like, where the fuck even are we? What is this?
What? Where am I? What did you do? I don't understand.
Yeah, just the concept of a cubicle and an office is so foreign.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff was really funny.
It's funny, but also, yeah, still hitting on that emotional core. And there's a really nice through line about, like, the, you know, the internalization of self-worth, mm-hmm. and the question of, like, there are parts in the last trailer that we saw that I was like, oh, wow, you're really kind of hammering the actual core theme of this, about, you know, that the whole saying, by the power of Grayskull, I have the power, mm-hmm. that's a really core theme. That's key to it. And it's like, it's saying some really good shit too. Mm. You know, it's saying, you know, don't externalize this into all the stuff around you. Yeah. You are actually enough. And I'm like, it's funny, like, you know, Mattel really nailed it with Barbie. Mm-hmm. And in a weird way, I feel like they're doing something almost equally subversive with this.
Yeah, definitely. It's the Ken equivalent of the Barbie film.
Yeah.
And like, I know that we're in the spoiler territory.
This Ken is just he.
Yeah.
Okay, look, when they pointed out the He-Man of it all, and then I was like, oh wait, and She-Ra, I'm like, fuck, how did I never see that? Like, 42 years on Earth and I've only just realized the derivative nature of those names.
Yeah, look, it's and I mean, I know we're in spoilers. I don't actually want to talk about the post-credit spoilers.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I think it's better off just experiencing that as you go.
Yeah.
But I would say confidently, I'm looking forward to another movie based in this universe. And from hopefully what it, hopefully if the box office holds up for it, we're going to get a bit of a universe out of that. And if they use the same sort of fun, it's great. Like it's going to be very interesting. And so many merchandising opportunities. to come back and introduce a whole new level of kids to all of this stuff.
I mean, they've got a whole new range of action figures. They've got beautiful Teela and He-Man Barbies.
Yeah,
fucking sick hot toys.
I was really impressed with their release for this film because they're servicing three different types of people who are interested in it. They're servicing the higher end Barbie / hot toys.
Yeah, collectors.
They're doing more the casual 6-inch $40 Australian figures. And what did you say, Quinny? They're doing the $14 cheap.
Well, they're actually doing two other levels as well. So there's the classics collectors who love, you know, short, squat, muscular He-Man from the 80s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they've done a version of these characters
directly
in
related
style.
To this film.
But very specifically, like the 80s style, like real muscular, real squat. And they've also done another line of cool looking, quite posable, very cheap, aimed at young kid kind of toys as well. Yeah. Like they're $12.
Yeah.
So you've got a $12 toy of all the characters, you've got a $19, and then you've got a $40 toy for the people who like a little bit more. Then you've also got your Barbie look, and then your $450 hot toys as well. Like, you know, I look at what they did for fucking Mandalorian, and I'm like, where are you? Like, where are your toys, dude?
They're there. They're there. You know, it's just there's
just nothing that screams play about Mandalorian and Grogu. But no. With He-Man, you do. You've got the playability.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I desperately want is for the Ram Man to have like the action feature of going spring or like, you know, the battle armor fist. And I mean, there's also a whole bunch of other toys too, which are like, you know, He-Man on Battle Cat with biting action.
You want
and
the fisting action, Quinny?
Real fisting action.
Hey, don't worry. You can get Fisto and Ram Man in a 2-pack.
Oh boy.
As I said today, and I'm almost 100% sure that that is a 2-pack that can only be bought from Amazon because they didn't want to try and work out how to get it onto a toy store shelf.
Damn it. Next time we do this, why do we not have affiliate links? God damn it. I should have fucking sorted all that out. Use our affiliate link.
I mean,
to
but if
buy
you
want to
buy us any of these things.
No, no. Use your affiliate link to buy your Fisto and Ram Man via Amazon. Give us money, Bezos.
Yeah.
Hey, we're on Twitch, right? Aren't they owned by Amazon?
I don't know.
Who knows this year? It's all owned by the same one corporation.
Yeah.
Omni Global Hyper Mega Net.
Yeah.
Oh, also want to shout out to a pretty good cameo as well.
Like, oh, mate, Dolph.
Yeah. Dolph. Like, I was very, very pleased with that. And also, I'm glad that it wasn't, like, it was twee, but it actually tied in to a few bigger things. And I was like, yeah, righto. Nice work.
Absolutely no one believed, though, that fucking Nicholas Galatzin wasn't absolutely destroying Dolph Lundgren in a physical. Like, they just put him in an oversized shirt to try to make him look smaller, and it's like, he's
fucking massive. It's not working.
Anytime he's just standing next to someone, I feel like they're just looking at him like, Jesus Christ.
I know, and he's like trying to like hunch and make himself smaller. I'm like, it's not working, babe.
I'm only Prince Adam. It's like, fucking Jesus.
He's like fucking Stellark, the artist. You know, you can wrap a piece of sheet over the White Cliffs of Dover. They're still the White Cliffs of Dover.
Yep. Exactly. Oh, dear. Well, look, you know, final thoughts, because we've been at this for quite a while now. It's a 450th show. We can do whatever we want. We're just going to keep going with it forever.
What do you want us to do for the next 450?
I'm so old. Finally, the Marvel Universe Phase 27 is coming out.
Please let us have phased into irrelevance by then.
Yep.
Asper wants us to spend the next 450 episodes doing Smallville.
Fuck.
Oh my God. They didn't even have that many episodes.
No, Tari says Vox Machina season 4 tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, that should give you something to do because we have a public holiday long weekend coming up.
We do.
And we're going to take next Tuesday off because there are five fucking Tuesdays in June. Of course, again.
We deserve an extra long break.
Yeah, we're doing that. But then we're going to come back. What are we talking about when we come back? Obsession or no, yeah. Disclosure Day.
Disclosure Day.
And then Obsession, which is doing very well at the box office along with the Backrooms.
Backrooms. I'm actually thinking whether or not maybe we should try and do a bit of both on that one. I know it means trying to see two films, but like those two films have absolutely fucking put the industry on its head. Yeah. Backrooms especially, everyone's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, look, hey, I don't fucking blame it because some of the very expensive, like high-end to produce films that have come out recently have been a bit crap. So, you know, cheap ones that get a good bang for your buck, fantastic. Mm. And then
have
what
a built-in audience
What
as
do
well
we put for the end of the month? It's, Supergirl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sweeper Girl.
Mm.
And Sheriff Lobo.
Yes. So they've got a few questions in there. What did we think of Punisher, One Last Kill?
Hated it.
A somewhat missed opportunity.
Yeah.
I thought stunts were great.
It was a good stunt reel. Yeah. And excellent a good like it felt a bit like The Raid, you know, where it's like, you know, high action, but at the same time, I didn't feel like any of the emotional stuff really landed properly. So,
nope.
Yeah, and it felt really weird to do that, knowing that it's going to lead into the next Spider-Man film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, strange decision.
Bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, you know, hey, you've got some time.
I'm going to be watching the rest of Spider-Noir.
Yeah, I've got to start that.
Struggling a bit with that one.
I've watched the first episode and I liked it. It's very strange, but I kind of dig that strange.
Okay.
I'll be happier when I can watch it in fucking black and white because my TV is being a dick and won't let me watch it in black and white.
Have you thought about just taking off your color correcting glasses? Off,
maybe you are. Maybe
that's the problem.
Everything just seems so pink. I'm not going to do that anymore because I look like a pig. I've got tiny little piggy on.
Oh, pig boy.
Oh, pig boy. One day you'll become a pig man. Jesus. All I got to say is go out and see, go to the cinema, have a nice time, get a popcorn bucket.
Yeah, are so many of them these days.
Just enjoy it.
Predakanger asked, did we watch The Sheep Detectives? No, we got an invite and we didn't watch it because it sounded dumb, but now everybody's giving it great reviews.
I mean, I don't know if I want to go and see another AI-generated animated film. I don't care if it has Hugh Jackman in it.
Mm.
I don't know. I heard he's cancelled because he's friends with Ivanka and Jared.
Ugh. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Ugh. Kill me.
And Karina's giving us a recommendation. Anyone wants a warm fuzzy, go and watch Power Ballad with Paul Rudd and Nick Jonas.
I saw the poster for that and I thought, what is that? I would watch that.
Yeah, I saw a trailer for it and it looked like a fun little film. So I'm kind of keen to give that a bit of a look at some point too.
So,
I have started watching Widow's Bay on Apple TV and I've got to say, loving it.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a bit of a horror supernatural kind of thing, very Stephen King-esque. Like it's even set in New England, but it's not written by him at all. But yeah, great. Enjoying that one so far.
Predakanger, I don't know if it is AI generated or not. It just gives me that vibe. I didn't want to watch it, so just want to clarify. I don't know what I'm talking about. I have watched The Burrows, which is on Netflix.
Okay,
that is if you like 80s films like Gremlins and Cocoon. Great. It's going to be good for you. Also, a lot of older actors getting the chance to keep earning a paycheck.
Yeah, Alfred Molina and...
Gina Davis.
Okay, nice.
Woodard. Yeah, it's good.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a good time
I finished For All Mankind.
Me too. What are your thoughts, Jill?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we did talk about it last month. It was an okay season. I think they kind of have lost the plot with what is the actual interesting storytelling. Mm. And that's the space exploration, not the fucking human drama. So the whole Mars liberation rebellion kind of thing was annoying, but the Titan Discovery stuff was cool. I want to see more of that. And I kind of really enjoyed our little prelude into season 6, which is going to be the 2020s.
Mm.
Interesting. I'm not going to spoil anything here.
No. I agree with you, Jill. I think there was, it built up the last couple of episodes. I actually was a lot more invested in where things were going.
Yeah. I took a break from it and then I'm like, I'm just going to finish it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I did. And then I watched the first episode of Star City and I've got to say, can't be fucked. Literally starting from the beginning again, but from the Russian perspective. And I'm like, it's just for all mankind, but with communism. And I'm like, it's whatever.
Right. Okay. I haven't watched that yet. And I'm like,
the first episode shows us the Russian moon landing and then putting the first woman on the moon. So it's the stuff that we saw in season 1 of For All Mankind. But just like, how did the Russians do it with all the communist spying and all of the hail fucking Lenin and Stalin bullshit? Like,
right.
Yeah, it's kind of, and it's all very drab because we're like, oh, I'm sorry, but we're in communist Russia, so we don't have color. And
and we don't have
and like remember how boring Chernobyl was and you all watched it? Well, we're going to try and replicate that with Star City.
Hey, I like Chernobyl.
Yeah, but it was slow.
Yeah, but it was good because that was the thing, is like people are dying.
Yeah, anyway. But they took all of that stuff but like didn't make it interesting. They're like, oh, we have a call center here, but nobody's talking to each other. We're just listening through devices for everybody that we've got on our radar. And then we report it at the end of the day. And then if you don't report something right, you go to the fucking gulag. I'm like, this is boring.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this is like no imagination, guys. You're just taking all of the Russian stereotypes.
Yeah. I might give it a go. But we've got a whole bunch of stuff starting back up again. Like, you know, we've got Vox Machina. We've got Sugar starting back up again on Apple TV sometime soon.
I'm really looking forward to something good coming from Apple.
What do you mean? Looking forward to? They're always putting out good stuff.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. A lot of the stuff, though, like, as you said, Jill, I tried to watch the remainder of the For All Mankind, and I just kind of got halfway through an episode and went, I'm bored.
Watch Widow's Bay.
Widow's Bay. Okay, yeah. I'll get into it. Yeah, their movies have been a bit shit that they've released. Some of the TV series have been okay, but, you know, Sugar Season 2 could be good.
You going to watch that John Travolta film?
No, not in a million years. I saw the trailer for it and I was like, oh, God, really? And then I watched him cosplaying as a director because that's what he thought a director should look like.
Yes. Yeah, mm. I love that.
Yeah. I thought Nicolas Cage looked really good in that, though, in the performance of John Travolta.
Yes. I want to take your plane off. All right.
In the bin. Okay, I'll go.
Thanks, everyone. Yeah, look, go out and see Master of the Universe. Great.
Yes.
Like,
enjoy Brian May.
It's going to be a good time. You're going to have a laugh. You're going to get a great action, joyful night out.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm contemplating seeing it again on an IMAX screen.
Ooh. Yay, splurging on the
incidentally
IMAX.
it's kicking off Mandalorian off IMAX screens all over the world.
You know what, that's fine.
Like, they're like, oh, Mandalorian's not doing well, fucking put He-Man on all of them.
Yep. And you know what,
mm-hmm.
Fine.
Yep.
Okay, everyone. Sweet. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for the chat.
Thank you for being with us for 450 fucking shows.
450 shows, Jesus.
Enjoy you get, break next week.
You get less for murder. I know, it's a fucking terrible bad joke. It's fine. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening out there. If you're listening, send us something nice. I don't know, say thanks or just congratulations.
If you listen to the podcast and don't come and join in the live stuff,
send us something to say.
Like, go onto the Facebook, do whatever. Dion won't say it on the Facebook, but I
won't. No, I won't be there at all.
Like, if you want to say happy birthday for 450 episodes, find an interesting way to do it, and we'll read it out on the podcast or play it, sure, or whatever.
Yeah,
I would like to. I'd like 450 10-cent pieces, please.
$450
That might pay our hosting.
Oh, no, that's not even, no, not with the 10-cent pieces. I need more than the dollar coins. I also love the way Quinny's face is frozen in this perfect exact moment. I need to acknowledge that. It's fucking hilarious. All right, we're gonna go, everyone. Thanks for see you in 2 weeks. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and then we'll talk about the next lot of things. Anyway, have a nice time off. We'll see you next week. Or next, like, next time.
Now go! Go, go! There's too many of them.
The big army only means one thing. More targets.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table podcast. If you have comments, feedback, or suggestion, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, Threads, YouTube, and Facebook links, as you can join in the show live on Twitch, usually on Tuesday nights, but sometimes it moves. Until next time, stay awesome. Until next time, stay awesome.